evening, everyone, and welcome to Take Point 22 with Michael and Karen and the Trim Radio Network, where we broadcast live all over the world. And you can come on over to the Trim Radio Network. You can buy our merchandise. We'd love to see you in it. And I'll tell you what, it helps us stay on the air. And if you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, all you have to do is message us. We'll show you how easy it is to do. The opinions expressed by my host, co-host, guests, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. And any information shared by us, including medical and professional information, should be taken with a grain of salt. We expressly deny all and any liabilities or damages resulting therefrom. And it not necessarily the opinions of Trim Radio Network. This song right here, Little Drummer Boy from King & Country, covered under our BMI music license 6105-1658. And we have a call-in number, 803-866-1667. You call in, give us your opinion, we'd love to hear from you. And without further ado, here is Karen.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing good.
All right. I'm just doing a little transitioning here. And there we are. And it's good to see everybody. I hope everybody is doing well. And we got some stuff to talk about tonight, don't we?
We do.
Which is absolutely fantastic. And hopefully I've got everything done right. I actually set up for the wrong show. How about that? I thought today was Wednesday, and I was going to be doing My World, Live, Laugh, or Whatever with Stu Scheer. And I set up for that show, and then, I don't know, it hit me. Today's Tuesday. So I kind of had a little boo-boo, but you'll have those things. It'll happen to the best of us. So anyway, everybody, welcome to Take Point 22. And Karen, what are we going to be talking about tonight?
We're going to be talking about trauma because I think we all have had some at some point in our lives. Some of it may be affecting our day-to-day life, and it's a real struggle for people, and we're coming up on, you know, the holiday season, and it's hard.
Trauma is hard, and it's something that you know, a lot of people realize or don't realize is that you can learn to live with it, but it never goes away. And it does affect people in many variable different types of ways. Memory loss, black areas in your memory of where you have just kind of blacked it out. Trigger point, I mean, panic attacks, depression, you know, and it does affect you in many different ways. So
absolutely.
How do we deal with it? What are some of the steps that we can take that we can deal with it?
I think acknowledging it, for one, is the first step. I think talking about it is a huge help. And recognizing if you have triggers, what they are. And, you know, it's easy for people to say, well, just avoid the triggers. Well, it's not always that easy. And you have to experiment with ways to deal with those triggers, not avoid them, but deal with them.
What's a good approach for dealing with those triggers, do you think? I mean, what are some healthy things that we can do to deal with those triggers?
You know, they've come out with a lot of different things. And I don't know that much about this, but they have like clinics where you can use like psychedelics. I'm not even sure if the VA covers it or not, but I've heard a lot of veterans say that they've had a lot of good come from it.
The VA is using some psychedelics for that.
I think in the right setting with the right therapist, the right doctors, I think that that's a really good something new.
Yeah, and I've heard of like also the hyperbaric, whatever, the air.
HBOT is what it is.
Right, and they're starting to do those things, but you know, sometimes these triggers, you know, come upon us so fast. And again, just as an example, I've had them come on for no reason, panic attacks. They're horrible, and God bless anybody that deals with them. They're horrible. You know, one moment I'm talking, the next moment, I don't know where I'm at. I'm on the ground, you know, and I was at the hospital. That's happened to me like 3-4 times in probably 2 years. And, you know, hospital trip, I think 3 times out of that. But, and they come out of nowhere and you don't even realize it. And, you know, you try to do your best. Music's a good way, that I've learned to deal with it. Music is an excellent way. Walking, they say, exercise.
Okay.
And it's hard, and that's been really hard because I had the foot, so.
Right. But, I've had that for a long time.
Oh, my goodness. 2 years recovering from that surgery and the plantar fasciitis, and it still goes numb. So, you know, I had to get special shoes from the VA in order to help out with it. Another way is, for me, that I found comforting, believe it or not, and I'm not, again, not trying to convert, not trying to do anything, but I'm being honest with you, reading the Bible app, reading the Bible, I found very comforting. And trying to stay away from stress. And when you have 9 people in the house, hard to do. So many different personalities, so many different you know, people in there, it's extremely hard to do. But at the same time, you know, having loved ones around or family members around also can alleviate it to some degree. So, you know, it's just how you look at it.
Now, I've known people that have, you know, that will have triggers when they're out, say, like in a public setting, going to the dentist, the doctor, and, you know, whatever would be the trigger, is that they have a an oil, like that smells really calming, or just that you really like, and they carry a little vial of
scented, yeah.
And if they feel really stressed, or they feel like, you know, they're having a really hard time, they will, you know, take a little whiff of the oil. Lavender oil is very soothing. And, you know, I've heard that it really works.
Yep. Taking a break, going outside for a bit, is another way that I've heard that works very well. Just going outside and, you know, because believe it or not, when you're stuck in your house and it's, you know, you feel like you're stuck in a box. But going outside, opening the door, being out in the open, I think is another way of trying to deal with it. Those traumas don't ever go away. I mean, I've learned that. They never go away. What we do is we try to learn the ability on how to deal with them and try to work around it. It's very painful for a lot of people, you know, it is for me as well. I have know people, have friends that have trauma so severe, they don't want to be here. They don't want to be in this world. They don't feel like they belong. And we feel like we're visitors, and it's a hard thing to deal with day in and day out. But there's so much good, too, you know, that you try to find the good out of these things. Focus on 5 things every day that are good. Not negative, but just good. It's, you know, I kind of learned that through the Love Dare, believe it or not. You know, you have a room, and you have 2 rooms in a hall for your spouse. One is a negative room, and one is a positive room. and in the positive room should always have more things than the negative room. And it should. And we learn to try to make sure that that happens. It doesn't always work out that way, but that's the way it's supposed to, that you're supposed to look at it. And I try to do that with trauma. Try to think of the five positive things than the negative things. I think that's
and if one thing doesn't work, then you need to move on and try. You do a lot of testing and a lot of, trying anything until it works. Even if it sounds a little outlandish or foolish to you, or something you've never heard before, try it out.
Yeah.
Not one thing for everybody.
Talking to a therapist helps. You know, they give you from another perspective, another pair of shoes, putting on, those other shoes and trying to look at it, with a good therapist. And definitely talking about it helps a lot. And I encourage it. I encourage people, be more of an open book. I know you're private on that stuff and a lot of things that hurt you, but you're not alone. You're definitely not alone. And I think a lot of veterans feel so alone because a lot of people don't understand what they go through. And they get that alone feeling. And then they don't want to lay the burden upon their significant other.
Right.
Which is real hard.
But ultimately, if you aren't handling your health, mental, physical, it affects your spouse. It affects your family. So you don't want to burden them, but in a way you are because, you can't, it's very difficult to hide those things. The reaction to trauma, to PTS, it's very difficult.
Yeah, and it creates a wedge. It does, because you basically, you're trying to take over and protect them. And the problem is it becomes a wedge in between them because it's affected the family. So you're quiet, you're recluse, you're always thinking the negative, you're always reliving nightmares, you're always reliving whatever that trauma may be. And, now they're almost alienated. So they're frustrated. They see it. They don't know how to help you. And that's why I said the VA really, when they look at a veteran that has PTSD, the family should be included in the whole thing. So they know what to look for. They know the signs. They know, okay, I realize this. I see this. I can identify this situation. I can identify exactly what's going on. He's showing all the signs and symptoms because we do. We have those. And this is how we deal with it. Now, let's get some professional help and let's get in there and try to right the ship and, pull this together. And I can only encourage veterans that share, be open. I know it's a nightmare. I know it's trauma, but you have to include your loved ones. You have to. You're not protecting them. And even though you think you are and you're alone, you're not. They're there. But you have to take that life preserver. God sent you a life preserver. He sent you a boat. He sent you everything. So why drown? Use those necessary tools, your family, and the different, the VAs, the, psychologists, psychiatrists. Talk. Get the help. And sometimes it does take some medication. I'm not telling you to be doped up, but I am telling you that it does take some medication. I'll be one of those people that'll be on medication the rest of my life. I realize it. And when I get off, things go haywire. Don't stop your medication. You start thinking to yourself, okay, I'm feeling better and everything. I could stop taking the medication. Let me tell you, that is a spiraling road to nowhere. So, you know, if it's not helping you the way you want it to, try a different medication. It may take a while to get the right medication, and I think at some point you become immune to it. So write down what is the medications that work for you at the time, because you might need to switch them up and then switch back again, you know. But you, and it is, it's a long process. It's a very long process.
It is. You have to have a good therapist. And if you aren't feeling the fit, you have every right to ask for someone new. And it may take a while for you to find a good fit. I hear so many people that just suffer, like, oh, you know, this isn't helping me, this person, we just don't mesh. I'm like, as soon as you realize that you're not meshing, you need to change.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been through multiple, and the last one was great. And then they took her away, which I really thought was just like, I was so upset about that. It was very heartbreaking.
Yeah, someone down, you know?
Yeah, very heartbreaking.
I think there are different types of trauma. And some trauma, I think, brings people incredible sadness. They may not have, you know, any triggers or anything. It's just when they think about it, they become very sad. You know, someone that's been through domestic abuse has kind of a different kind of trauma.
It's not fun. It's not fun. And, you know, it's hard to, it's hard to figure out what to do there. You know, there's times, and a lot of people don't be afraid to admit the trauma. I know there's been times I go down the road and I start crying for no reason. And I can't give you a rhyme or reason as to why. It is a chemical imbalance. You know, and trauma on top of it. So these things do happen and stuff. You know, the only thing I can do, if I have bad dreams or something like that, I'll discuss that with my significant other, with Sherry.
Okay.
And I'll tell her, you know, the kind of dreams that I have or what I've seen. And then, you know, I wonder why I'm having those, you know, what exactly does that mean? And you know, what kind of, you know, what takes place and everything, and try to get her insight on it. Not fun. So I understand it. And I understand why people feel trapped. And trauma can happen for a variety of different reasons. I mean, imagine being an ER nurse or a doctor or just anything in your life that something bad has happened. Losing a loved one. Getting attacked.
It could be something that is easy, not easy, but just is what people don't think about. But if you are going through a really tough time, like financially, and it's for an extended period of time, I think that can lead to some trauma.
Oh, absolutely. Because you get thoughts of failure. You get thoughts of, you know, what is next? You know, what am I going to do? I'm, you know, going to be homeless or something else, which is a very real fear from everybody. Listen, I think half of America at this point is probably a couple of paychecks away from being out on the street. And
I'm going to tell you, I agree. I think, you know, if you have an extended period of financial difficulty, and then you know things get a little bit better, and I still think that some people suffer the trauma from it. That it's afraid to spend the money because they're afraid it's not going to be there.
Yeah, it's not there. And then, can I get all the bills paid? Can I you know, what's going to get shut off? What's going to happen? Or, you know, can your car get repossessed? Or will you get foreclosed on? And I mean, you know, going through those experiences is not fun. And it's not fun for anyone. And we have more foreclosures and everything like that happening today because of these interest rates that's going on. And we have the interest rates because we ran up so much debt and we're trying to slow down the inflation. You know, I'm everything that's happening today is a huge weight on people's minds. The cost of food alone. I mean, my goodness, you used to be able to get a ton of food for the money you spent. Now you get 2-3 bags and you're looking at over $100. And
oh, yeah.
A lot of people just don't have it. They just don't have it. And then we're taking in a whole bunch of other people that they already can't take care of, to where now the states that were like, hey, we're all for open borders, are now against it and saying we have a problem. Well, duh. You know, I mean, we're not helping ourselves. And, you know, it's very heartbreaking for a lot of people, and it is traumatic. But, you know, and then we're seeing wars everywhere. I mean, these are negative things that we're seeing. The negative things on the news. Everything is negative. Oh, this person shot this person. And when you get stuck in that, you know, sometimes you just want to tell people, listen, shut the news off. Look at something that's positive and not negative. And try to break free from all the negativity that is happening and look at the blessings that you have. It's trying to find a different perspective. And it's very hard to do.
Tell you today, you know, I work at Shoppers Food, and there was a woman that was checking out, and then there was an elderly couple that was right behind them. And they only had a few things. They had kind of like coffee, creamer, you know, your basic things. And she, the woman that was in front of them was just talking with the cashier, and she kind of signaled that she was going to pay for this elderly couple's groceries. I will tell you what, they were in tears when they found out what she did. They're on a fixed income, and it doesn't go very far.
No, and it doesn't. And then they tell them, well, if we have a government shutdown, we might take that. They put this fear into people on top of it, when it's not necessarily true, because that's already been paid for the fiscal year. So, you
right.
know, but a lot of people don't know that. You don't think about those things when you get older. Now you just want to live out your life in peace. And, you know, I've seen people at the grocery store where they buy things, they put it on there, they get ready to pay for it, and guess what? It doesn't go through. And then they're really panicked. I mean, it's embarrassing, because then everybody sees it. And then you really feel, that's when your panic attack starts. That's
right.
You know, those are triggers and stuff. I mean, you want to have those basic things. You want a roof over your head. You want clothes on your back, you know, clean clothes. You want to have, you know, enough to buy food for your family. And so you went from all these big dreams to, this isn't worked out. This is not what I expected. And life itself will beat the tarnation out of you. It will.
Absolutely.
It will beat you down, and it will. And it's merciless. It just, you know, it's one thing after another. And the next thing you know, maybe your child breaks an arm, and then you have the hospital bill, and they're relentless. I mean, and then you got. Yeah. And you know, now they're talking about wanting to have this universal health care, trying to mimic all the other countries out there. And the problem is, they forgot where we are. You know, we used to set the precedent for everything, you know.
Funny thing I find kind of ironic is the people of the other countries where they have that, you know, socialized medicine are saying this is the worst idea ever, but we still are pushing for it.
Yeah, they have long wait times. You're not getting the procedures that you want or that you need. And then somebody's deciding whether you need that procedure or not.
Who may or may not have a medical degree.
I mean, it's ridiculous, you know? And that's just it. So they're sending you off, and you're not seeing doctors. You're seeing practitioners or whatever, you know? Which, let's face it, the word practice. And if I don't get it right, oh well, you know? And it's a scary thing, and to try to get the medicines. And the medicines alone are so expensive. You're trying to find the cheapest way to get that. And the policies are expensive. I mean, that's another chunk coming out of your paycheck. And it's just, that's a huge burden for people. And they're trying to work all these hours, and nobody is guaranteed a job anymore. There is no loyalty with companies. None. It's gone. You have to almost get a small mom and pops thing who gets to know you on a personal level and that cares about you. I've been very blessed in that way. But, you know, and of course he's like my brother, so he knows everything that's going on with me. So I have been very, very blessed in that way. But I'm not even working full time. I can't. But, you know, and that's for medical reasons and everything. But it is scary. And then when you're waiting to go see the doctors and stuff like that, I'm still waiting for an answer on treatment that's been 2 weeks now, 3 weeks out. Which direction am I going? And that's that's a burden. I mean, there's...
That is.
You know...
A little step over.
Yeah. And it's, you know... And we have acronyms for everything. So nobody... That's even scarier. And then when they start telling you the name of these things and there are these huge names and you're like, what is that? That's bad. You know?
Yeah.
You know, so it's, see, it does get you stressed out.
It's like people that are first responders, our military, it's a very difficult, especially when you leave the military, you really are, you know, I haven't been in the military. These are what things that people have expressed to me is that, you know, you're part of a group. It's a way of life.
It's a brotherhood and a sisterhood. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. And it is, but, you know, and then you will always have that camaraderie, and it will be, you know, lifelong. And then you see these people that you care about hurt themselves, try to hurt themselves, and then you have a few that somehow escape that, and, you know, they're out there, and, you know, you keep in touch with them, you know what I'm saying? But...
Right.
It's different in the civilian world. In the civilian world, there is a lack of empathy or sympathy. But they haven't experienced that brotherhood or sisterhood. They have no clue of how that works. So, and when you get on out there to some of the doctors that I found out there, some of them are very sympathetic and empathetic, but some are not. Some of them just don't care. You have to be really, it's a hit or miss. And it is. When you go to the VA, you've got people around you that you feel safe with, you feel comfortable with. You know what they have went through, you know? And of course, you know, I always tell people I've never been in a combative type thing, but you see what happens. You know, you still observe it and see it. And if you have any kind of feelings at all, empathy or sympathy, you almost live it. It's how to say, and then you feel bad that you weren't there. I mean, there's all kinds of things that goes through your mind.
Right.
And there are things that are very real, and everything gets skewed. So it is. It's trauma is a very, very real thing, and I don't think that we have given enough attention to it, and now we've called it something else. Mental health issues, okay? Not trauma issues, but mental health issues. And it's almost a stigma, again, you're putting on it. I mean, that's what it feels like, you know? He's got mental health issues. I mean, I don't know how you feel about that, Karen.
It's fairly, well, not fairly, it's pretty upsetting because, again, you know, a lot of people will feel like they're on the outside of things. You know, veterans have told me they feel, you know, like they don't belong. They really feel kind of a fish out of water. And it's very difficult to open up to therapists, especially those that therapists that have not, you know, been in the military. And then to kind of put that stigma back on it. You've been preaching about the stigma of mental health and getting rid of it, and here we are adding to it.
Yeah, once you label it and you know, and you've got everyone yelling, I'm offended by everything. Okay, well, you know what? Now you know how some of these guys feel when you start saying he has mental health issues. Okay? If that's not laying a stigma upon people, I don't know what is. I mean, what do you expect? You know, trauma issues sounds a lot lovelier, doesn't it? I mean, you know, trauma issues versus mental health impairment or disability. You think about that, and then they don't want to go and see a doctor. That makes them even more trapped because I don't want to get labeled like that. I'll deal with this on my own. I'll figure it out. And by the time that they figure it out, they're divorced. They can't see their kids. They have been labeled anyway, okay? And they're, you know, forced into now where they know they have to do something, or they're homeless, or, you know, on the outside, or just wanting to get away from people altogether. And it's a distrust of humanity. That's what it really comes down to, is a distrust of humanity. And why? Because humanity has shown over and over again it cannot be trusted. We've, like I said, we're very capable of wonderful, wonderful dreams, but we make our worst nightmares come to fruition in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
So, catch it while it's early. Deal with it. You know, I understand what I have. I'm an open book about it. And I'm an open book to let other people know, listen, man, you are not alone, okay? It's here. It's real. And let's face it, I think everybody in this world has gone through some kind of trauma.
I think so, too. And, you know, mental health is a big issue now, not just with our veterans and first responders. It's because everyone goes through it.
Oh, we saw it during the pandemic. How did everybody feel getting locked up, getting controlled? Wear a mask. You must get the vaccines. So much so, we had people saying, let's shoot people that don't get the vaccinated. Line them up and shoot them. Well, still in today's world, that's called murder. Okay? But you think it's right because they disagree with the way that you feel. And you disagree with the way they feel. Their answer is to shoot you, to hurt you, to maim you. you know, your answer is I need help. But you're not alone. We're not alone in this. And
I really think that that therapists and psychologists and psychiatrists have really have been coming out with these treatments that are extremely helpful. And I feel like they are becoming more of mainstream than ever before.
I agree. I think that the outside the box thinking, the paradigm, you know, has come a long way. And thank God for that, because it at least opens up different things. I think that they're realizing that Delta 8 or Delta 10 and, you know, and some of these other treatments for pain versus opioids, among other things, can, you know, show significant betterment for the patient. You know, now we're trying psychedelics to try to, you know, I'm not sure how they work. I know nothing about them as far as that goes on the treatment of them. But I think that some of these things can work. And we do have to explore, you know, new things to work. Years ago, it used to be lobotomies and shock therapy.
Right.
And then we realized, okay, that's a bad idea and it doesn't work. And, you know, it affects the person for the rest of their life. Now we're having to come up with new strategies on how to help ourselves. And I think by trying different things and, you know, if we don't get hindrances in our way, red tape and bureaucratic BS, we could come a lot further. And we have to catch this stuff early on, especially with our children. Look at what's going on with the kids and the traumas that they deal with. They can't deal with it. Nobody's catching it. The parents, you know, are not identifying the problem. And we have them going out and hurting each other or hurting other people. Because,
you know, being a parent, myself, and you're a parent also, a lot of times you see things in your children and you just don't know what to do. Or you have, you know, tried all kinds of things that aren't working. I don't feel like we have enough people with answers for raising our children in this day and age.
And that's true, but we've created this mess. We have let government step into our doorway, into our households, to where they believe that our children are their children. They are not. They are our children. God was gracious enough to bless us with the gift of having kids. Don't tell us on, you know, what you think your best solution is, because I might not agree with your solution. And, you know, I should have the final say. They're my children. Until they're 18 years old, they're my children. And I understand stepping in if there's abuse, molestation, and stuff like that. I get that. I understand that. My gosh, get them out of that environment. I get that. But at the same time, don't put them in an environment that's worse. Because some of these young kids go into another home and they're just as abused, you know?
Or worse.
Or worse, yeah. So we have to have better answers than what we have today. And because...
Well, you know, President Trump, or, you know, ex-president, past President Trump, he said today that he wanted, if elected, he was going to put the school, authority back into the hands of the states themselves, so the federal government should be out of it.
Yeah, there should be a little bit of a separation of, you know, state and, you know, government on that. And I agree with that. They don't have all the answers. Their answers are, well, you know, these young kids are killing each other, and so we need to take away guns. You're taking away the symptom. You're not handling the problem. If they didn't use guns, they'd use knives. If they didn't use knives, they'd use stones. They'd use sticks. The problem is that the younger generation has a lot of trauma. And to the point of we don't know what they are. They don't know what they are. They don't know anything about what their future is going to be. You know, we've given them this false hope, you know, oh, we're going to educate you for free. Yeah, but your educational system has constraints to it, and you've placed them there, and you want to educate them the way that you think that they should be educated instead of the way that history has educated them. And, you know, I think that plays a big role in it, too.
We have a crisis in education. Our teachers are burned out. You hear all the time of they can't have regular teach in a regular classroom. They have so many interruptions and behavioral issues, and they're burned out.
Yeah,
they're not getting the support that they need to do their job.
We've created this division, this false division, and, you know, have this infighting, and it's amongst adults. So they're not paying attention to everything going on with their children, not realizing, oh, we're teaching our children this. We're teaching them bad behavior that we do and saying it's okay, but then the kids can't do it. And we have kids going out there and killing each other with guns. And we have them doing it with other weapons as well. And I mean, a lot of it, you know, broken homes, you know, it's unbelievable. And to me, the rich get richer. And there's going to be two classes. It's the separation. And they're making all the rules. You know, the table is tilted.
And they've gone through and they are teaching what I think that they have no business teaching, you know, about sexuality and things like that. And that's, you know, there've been big arguments over that.
There's no reason to start
doing conflict resolution. Let's take something important.
Instead of deciding whether
you're male or female.
Yeah, but there's no reason to teach these kids that before puberty. Why are you even teaching that? Why is that even on the table? Why? I mean that's a problem. And then skewing their things by trying to tell them what they are. You're mind bending and hurting these children instead of letting them live the lives of how they were born. And you're the one who lived. Yeah. And you're trying to convince them because maybe you have issues that they're not. And now we have, I don't know how many different, I can't even count them anymore. And
I heard on the news I don't really watch the news, but some kind of newsy type program that said that there's 167, but my question is, what are they?
I don't think they can keep up with it. I can't keep up with it. I've known all my life of two. Okay. We have done this. We've planted this. We have done this. It started with MASH. Remember Clinger? Trying to get the Section 10 or whatever it was, Section 9, and trying to get out of the military. And so, you know, that came abroad. And then we had all these different shows to where it was okay to have these, you know, relationships with one another that were of the same gender. And I'm not against, listen, whatever you are, I'm not against it. But I'm just saying those things should be private, not public.
Right.
I mean, they should just display those things in private. Don't force upon the rest of the world your belief because you think that you're right. Just as I can't force to you and tell you I feel it's wrong, even though I do, but I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to judge you. You have to live your life the way that you want to live your life, and that's fine. But now everybody is like, well, we want rights. Well, you know what? And I understand that. And I understand. I'm not telling you not to fight for your rights either. But make sure your rights don't infringe upon somebody else's rights while you're trying to fight for your rights. It's then you have chaos. And once you have chaos and you have division and everything else, you're going to have trauma associated with it. You're going to have all these different things. Trauma is chaos. It's chaos in your life that never ends. It's 24/7, 365 for the rest of your life. How you have and how you deal with it, the ability of how you deal with it, does make all the difference in the world.
And I think finding a good therapist, a therapist that specializes in trauma, can help you so much in the long run to become comfortable with yourself, to be a happy person.
Amen. Listen, I think everybody should go to a therapist.
I think so too. I'm
not going to lie. I think that people have lost their sympathy and empathy. And I think that, you know, we need to figure out why that is and how we deal with that. Fix ourselves. And it's not an easy thing to do. It's one of the most difficult things to do. But we have to, all of us, have to be able to go and look in a mirror and say, how did I contribute to this situation? Not how anybody else contributed. How did I contribute to it? And until we can look deep within ourselves, deep into the abyss, and say, okay, you know what? Here's where I made my errors. How do I correct them? What's the way to a healthier lifestyle? And believe me, it's easy to get sucked into. And some people in this world just shouldn't be around certain people. And that's just the way it is. Take it for a grain of salt. Take it for what it's worth. But I think everybody should. They should go to a therapist. Sit down, talk, learn, find our hearts again, find our empathy and sympathy. And it is. It's extremely hard to do. But it does. It starts with you. I mean, I've spent years with a therapist. I don't know about you, Karen, but I have.
I think that, like I said, you need to find a therapist, and now it's kind of easier than ever because telehealth.
Oh, yeah.
And I think sometimes that using telehealth, I think people, when you're in your home or wherever you choose to take your appointment, it's usually in a relaxed, comfortable, where you're comfortable, your home or wherever. So you're not, you know, nervous sitting in an office that doesn't feel like home.
Yeah.
But trying to experiment with different things, definitely seeing a therapist to work through it or a trauma therapist. Part of that is learning to forgive yourself. Because I think part of the trauma, is not forgiving yourself for how things turned out or what your actions were during the trauma.
Oh, absolutely. I think that being able to, you know, forgive yourself is a huge step. And you know what? We're all human. We're going to make mistakes, and you can't let our pride and our ego and everything get in the way of that. And I've done that many times. And being able to you know, find there's a huge difference between happiness and joy. Huge difference. And happiness is circumstantial. It's, hey, I found $100. Oh, wow, awesome. Okay?
I'm happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's happy about that. You know, that's a carton of eggs and milk, you know?
Right.
But joy is something of, okay, no matter what my circumstances, I thank God I'm alive. That's joy. And I thank God I have God to come to and talk to. That's joy. There's a big difference between happiness and joy. And we have forgotten that. And everything that you see on the internet is how to be happy, you know, throughout life. How to be happy with where you go. Not how to be joyful, but how to be happy. It's circumstances. You know, you will always run into negative circumstances. And you've heard me say it a million times. Life is a 15-round title fight. It will beat the crap yeah. out of you. It will throw everything at you, including the kitchen sink. And for me, my solution is stay in the ring, stay in the fight, stay on my feet. And when I get tired, let God, sometimes you just have to let things play out in His timing. And, you know, for me,
that's harder than people think. It's so easy to say that, but to actually, you know, I think it takes lots of practice. I'm not there yet. One day I hope to be, but it's very difficult.
Well, you'll start to see
give control to someone else.
You'll start to see the little blessings, Karen, that'll step in. I'm telling you, all of a sudden these little victories start coming along. But the patience thing is the molding part. And because I am a firm believer in Christ God, you know, I always believe that He's molding us. You know, we go through 5 different parts of life. 0 to 20, 20 to 40, 40 to 60, 60 to 80, and if we're lucky, 80 to 100. Okay?
Right.
That's if we're lucky. And the last part is the most peaceful part. The older we get, the wiser that we get. You're going to make mistakes along the way. So, you know, from the 0 to 60, expect it. You're going to make just millions upon millions of mistakes. And then you have to do like Karen said. You have to be able to forgive yourself. You have to be able to almost step outside yourself and say, okay, I screwed this up pretty bad, and how can I prevent it from happening again? And realize those mistakes and be able to move on from them. But I think that therapy is a huge, huge difference maker in doing that, without a doubt.
And I think, you know, we do our family, I think we do our, you know, immediate family, extended family, our good friends. You know, I really think that it makes those relationships easier. And when you can.
Yeah, go ahead.
Forgive yourself. I know that I'm teaching my children that making a mistake, it's okay. I notice that there's so many adults that have grown up afraid to make a mistake.
Yeah, that's a huge thing that definitely goes on. And I'll tell you what, we're going to cover more of this next week. We'll cover the week after. We'll cover more of this as soon as I get my day straight. But I think that God brings people in your life and takes people out of your life. He knows the conversations that those people are having behind your back without your knowledge. And He will remove them. And once they're removed, let them go. That is part of forgiving yourself. Let them go. And, you know, that doesn't mean don't be civil, but it does. You've moved on. Move forward. Keep moving forward. Look through the windshield, not the rear view mirror. It's the best way to handle a lot of things. And forgive yourself along the way for the mistakes that you made with those people that were in your life. And forgive them too.
And I truly feel that even though you honestly can say, I made a mistake, I behaved badly, you learn from that and you make the changes that need to be, that you feel that need to be made.
Yeah.
And acknowledge it.
And acknowledge it. You're right. And I think that's the biggest
step. That's a long way.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll pick this up again and we're going to get out of here. We're not going to do our normal 2 hours tonight. I am extremely tired. So, and I want to spend some time with my significant other, and I'm sure you do too, Karen. So, join us definitely again. And go ahead, Karen.
I think next time that we're on, I'm going to do some research about different types of trauma therapy, like the psychedelics, because I've heard from lots of veterans that have tried it that have been like, this has been very helpful.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if it's widely known what exactly goes on and how is it helpful.
I think that's an awesome idea, and we'll do some research into, you know, how therapy helps and what's available for people that they might not think's available for them. So we'll do some research into that to maybe try to be able to at least lead you in a direction of being able to get, you know, some professional help. Like I said, we're not professionals, but we if we can share information with you to try to help get you in the right direction, you know, hopefully we can. But we'll look at that. But final thoughts, Karen?
Stay in the fight.
definitely stay in the fight. Well, listen, folks, God bless you. And Karen, always an honor. I am always in awe of you. And always.
Thank you. So, I feel the same way about you.
So I just, you know, you inspire me very much. And I appreciate that. I am so grateful for that. Listen, folks, thank you for joining us. And we are out of here. And we will talk to you all later. Thank you for tuning in to Trim Radio Network and Take Point 22. Tomorrow night, Stu Scheer, My World. Live, laugh, or whatever. And boy, you got to laugh. Otherwise, you're going to cry with our economy. And I don't know why I thought it was on tonight. Again, see, there's, boy, I'll figure it out. Don't worry. It's a little pun. But thank you for joining us, and take care.
Bye.
And hopefully we'll have our music.
Lately I've been reeling, watching the nightly news. Don't seem to find the rhythm, just wanna sing the blues. Feels like a song that never stops. Feels like it's never gonna. Gotta get that fire back in my bones.